25 to 12, we're with Welsh composer and writer Tim Riley now. He's just started work on a new musical about a great British obsession, curry.
Brilliant.
He's planning to get a real insight into the Indian restaurant trade by putting on an apron, helping out in the kitchens at a restaurant in Cardiff. Have you started that yet, Tim?
I have. I started last Tuesday.
Did you?
Yes.
How are you finding it in the kitchens?
And, quite late nights. And,
yeah,
I mean, you think you'd be used to that in the theatre, but they are quite late nights. And,
a quiet night, a Tuesday.
They didn't want to let me near the place on a Saturday night.
They didn't. There would have been a lot more foul language on a Saturday night.
Promised. It's a great restaurant down in Pontcanna, the Cinnamon Tree, and I went there because it was a restaurant I'd been to a lot in the past. It was the only place I dared sort of go in and say, "Would you consider letting me come and work in the kitchens for a bit?"
They presumably think you're bonkers.
And they've got used to it quite quickly. They did, I suspect they did at first, and I thought it would be very sort of guarded, you know, because it's on one level I want to see what's going on in the kitchen, because in the musical I'm really keen on the idea that we see what goes on in the kitchen, because everybody's obsessed with what happens in big kitchens. So, but of course, in an Indian restaurant, it does function slightly differently to a Jamie Oliver type restaurant, if you like. And I wanted to see, well, for a start, I just want to know all the terminology, what they're actually doing, what languages are they speaking in. But more importantly, I want to then get beyond that and really chat to people and find out about their backgrounds, because there's some really interesting stories about how the whole Indian restaurant trade started up in the country. And I think people have a very vague idea about it, but there is quite a specific story there. And it's very relevant to Cardiff, but it's also relevant to every town and city in the country, really, throughout the UK, in fact.
And when you're choosing a subject for a musical, is it important to have something that's got that sort of mass appeal? I mean, it is
definitely,
a, yeah.
definitely, and part of the reason now, I really wanted to gauge reaction to the piece before I sort of went a lot further down the line, because you can start working on things and you realise after a bit that although you're very fired up about the subject, nobody else gives a damn. And obviously, if you're going to be working on something often for 2 or 3 years, just to get it to the first stage, you've got to be absolutely sure that the subject matter is going to fly. Yeah. And of course, there's further responsibility. It's got to be good as well, then, but if it doesn't just capture people's imagination as soon as you tell them it in a line, you need to think again.
What comes first when you're writing a musical? Is it the music or the lyric?
It works differently for various composers. And in the past, I've worked quite a lot with other writers and lyricists, although I've always had quite a lot of involvement in coming up with concepts and storylines. And I've become more and more involved in the writing. But what I seem to be doing is I often will just pen down a few lyrics, even though I'm very, very comfortable working with the music. I'll often just sort of have some ideas for a song and then just play around with some words. And also, of course, that you're getting informed by the story you're trying to tell as well. You start thinking, well, what is it I actually need to say? What's going to happen in a scene? What's going to happen in a song? And you just keep throwing it up in the air and it keeps coming down differently. But eventually it just sort of magically seems to sort of emerge from all the fragments.
So do you envisage that it will be set entirely in the restaurant?
I think so. I mean, there is a great story behind the most of the people that work in the Indian restaurant trade are not Indians at all. They're Bangladeshis, and I think it's well over 90% of people in Britain come from that background. And many of them originally came here after the Second World War from a region called the Sylheti sailors, that they all worked on big ships, and it was horrendous hot work working in the engine rooms, and a lot of them literally jumped ship at the first decent city in places like Cardiff and London, and then just were looking for whatever work they could do, and ended up initially with chip shops and all sorts of things, and then starting to realise that people liked the food and starting to introduce their own food. So I love all that. I quite like the idea of going from one hot environment, this almost unbearable engine room where there's stories of people literally dying of exhaustion in the heat. And, if you go in an Indian restaurant in the kitchens on a Saturday night, it is absolutely ferocious, the heat, even with all the air conditioning and all the fans running. It's a very, very hot environment. So I like that story. But having said that, I don't think I'm going to be going necessarily back to India, but there's going to be references back to that. I think we're going to be in an Indian restaurant, but not just out front. We're going to be seeing the noises off, the what's going on in the kitchen happening side by side.
I was going to ask you whether or not you'd had the chance to be front of house yet, because what always makes me laugh is that I was in a restaurant on the weekend where you could hear all hell breaking loose in the kitchen.
Really?
And lots of shouting and dropping things, and then the swing door and the plastic smile coming on as everything was okay front of house. And that's surely got to be one of the...
Definitely. And if you go back to the sort of real heyday of when Indian restaurants, or you know, curry houses as they were a bit more then, started in the 60s, I mean, just chatting to the guys down at the Cinnamon Tree, they were rough places in the 60s, and they were staying open till 2 in the morning, and they were literally having to turn the key in the door and decide who they were going to let into the restaurant. You know, it really was that bad. You know, so they're acting as bouncers and, you know, trying to conflict resolution going on the whole time. And it's not so much like that these days, obviously. You know, the whole thing's moved on, and many restaurants, they're really quite fine restaurants, and a lot of the restaurants now close a lot earlier. And I think things have changed with the change in the licensing laws. You know, at one time it was the only place you could go for a drink, because all the Chinese restaurants would be shut. So you'd go down to the curry house, and unfortunately, you know, everyone had already had a skinful when they got there, and there was all sorts of trouble. Whereas now I think people actually go out because they want to have a curry, not necessarily because they want to drink 10 pints of lager first, you know, before they go in.
Do you know what it will sound like yet? Will it have the sort of the Bollywood sound, the Indian music to it?
Or? There needs to be... I definitely want to bring that influence into it, but I don't just want it to be a Bollywood style curry musical. I think we're going to have our moments without a shadow of a doubt, but I want to really sort of bring in lots of good music theatre techniques. And the thing that I keep bringing myself back to is, you know, the musical's called Half and Half, which is obviously a fun, you know, half and half, the whole Cardiff thing of half rice, half chips. But also it's about the whole thing of, you know, are you Bangladeshi? Are you British? Are you British Bangladeshi? And of course, we all have issues about our own identity. I have one about whether I'm Welsh or whether I'm English, because I've been in Wales all my life. So you've got all those things going on. And that's also reflected in the music. So on one side, you've got British musical influences, and the other side, you've got your Asian musical influences. And that's all got to mix together in a really interesting way.
We've been chatting this morning with the writer and composer Tim Riley, who is combining his love for food and his talent for music making to make a curry-based musical. He's been getting a bit of hands-on experience. The music is going to be called Half and Half. You've also very kindly, on Valentine's Day, written us a song. That's very sweet.
Yes, a special curry love song for Jamie and Louise.
Shall we sample it?
Oh, yes, please.
OK, here we go.
Jamie and Louise, your indulgence if you please, while I sing a silly song what I have wrote. Now I don't want a curry favour, merely give you a little flavour, allow your listeners to savour a song of some slight note. And it goes, curry, you're close to my heart. Well, let's hope you're not too close to my heart, but you know what I mean, you play a special part. You contribute to my excess cholesterol, but still you play a special role. Curry, you're close to my heart. But curry, you sure make me... Hey, Jamie Owen, I've got some news for you. Now Jamie just enjoys a nice chowfrazy, and Louise says, please give me lamb, sand and a wab. There's millions of opinions from Prime Minister's dominions, but I don't care, I want a shami kebab.
It's a triumph. It'll go all the way.
Very good. I love that.
Tim Riley. And what are you calling that? That's the curry love song.
Right, yes, it's curry love song for Jamie and Louise.
Well rescued. No, just at the right moment. In my view.
I was trying to do that last night, and my other half, Sarah, went, what are you doing there? I said, oh, I'm writing a love song. And he said, oh, is it for me? I said, no, I'll do yours next year.
Have you any idea yet who you want to play the roles in this musical of yours? Do you have, when you're writing and when you're thinking, do you have people in mind who you want to play the lead?
Yes, you often do, but they never seem to end up doing it because so many things change. But I'm thinking more in terms of characters at the moment. And yes, and as those characters, you know, really flesh out, then you start thinking, oh, I wonder who could do that. I think with musicals, the problem is, for a start, you always cast everything off Hollywood films, you know, which is slightly unrealistic because not least you won't get them. And also a lot of them can't sing as well, you know. So it's, but you kind of start thinking, oh, yes, that performer would be great, you know. And then, of course, you obviously move along to somebody else that's got some of those same qualities that's more suitable.
Yeah, the idea is fabulous. I'm just thinking slightly ahead now, and in terms of how, I suppose I'm thinking more in business terms, how do you get your completed musical to where you want it to be? You know, how do you sort of sell your musical to, do you have to do that with theatres?
First of all, at the moment, you very much have to establish that there's an interest in what you're doing.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have to establish the quality of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, the next stage for me now is to find a company that is interested in this project and wants to develop it. Mm-hmm. I think because of the nature of the castings, because it's going to be the cast probably will be half Asian, Bangladeshi, and half sort of Caucasian. So it's going to be quite a tricky show to cast well. There's definitely plenty of people out there could do it, but it's not a normal offering. So I think it very much is likely to end up being some sort of co-production. Often, usually, what will happen then is that a theatre or a company will express interest in it, and it may never go any further than that, but it will probably get performed in some way. But what you're really hoping then is that the show is a big success, and of course then you get into the situations, which I have to say I've never actually been in, because they're once in a lifetime situations of those things maybe transferring then into the West End.
Yeah.
But these things do happen, and you know, you can have a wonderful show, but unless it just ticks the box with people, they go straight away when they hear the title, oh yeah, I fancy going to see that interests me. Unless you're getting that from day one, you know, it's just not going to go the distance.
And I suppose timing is important in that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, timing is often very important.
Tim, we wish you every success, and we hope it takes off, and good luck with the shifts in the restaurant as well. That sounds intriguing.
Fancy a curry now.
That's all right, actually.
It's terrible. Thank you so much.
possibly not cooked by Tim, though. Tim Riley, the writer and composer. And remember the line, half and half. Yeah, you heard it here first. Tim, good to see you. All the best.
Thanks,
Thank you.